Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to Redmen TV. It is the instant match reaction after Liverpool come behind at half-time to beat AC Milan by 3-2. That's the last time I'll say that because I've said it quite a lot. It sounds good and I'm very happy with it. I'm Ross Chanley, joined by Errol Smith for this one. I've just had a chance to calm down, just about, I think, Errol. A thoroughly enjoyable night besides 5 minutes, but European night under the lights at Anfield. Didn't disappoint.
No, absolutely not. That's like a bit of a fairy tale. If you was writing a script for like how you want the season to start, that is like the perfect start to it, kind of that.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's like, not.
It
like
is.
A fairy tale start with 3-0, no injuries.
No.
We score the penalty, we don't miss.
Do you
tell my heart rate that that's a fairy tale story?
It is, because we're a Liverpool team. We've got drama. We have that. It's never going to be easy. We'll keep you at the edge of your seat for a full 90 minutes. And we don't fail to deliver on that. We absolutely give you that action packed. It started off a little bit heavy metal as well to begin with, but that for me, if you was writing a script, that's exactly how you'd get it. We'd go behind to an AC Milan team before half time. We need a rallying call in a half time speech from our manager, and we pull it back.
Do you think that heavy metal start, as you put it, because I think you're right, Liverpool were pretty relentless. It was high in the press. It was kind of, I want to say Liverpool of old, but it's not even Liverpool of old. It's probably Liverpool of over a season ago when we had the players to play like that, because we had to be careful. But do you think that was the plan, or partly the plan, and or Liverpool playing to the occasion of it being European night and the crowd being up for it, and just that, you know,
how many days have we not had the European
552
that's it, all of that's built up into the atmosphere, you know, the crowd, all that energy, just the players will just feed off all of that, and yet they probably were caught out by the occasion, especially in terms of how well we started. To begin with, it was probably like that was the intention, go in with that intensity. But wanted, like, we had them under the cosh, and they were struggling to kind of get any patterns of play and build out from the back, because that's what they didn't want to just hoof it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have Drew on from early, so they didn't have someone to just hold up the ball if they got it up top. That's because it was working so well for us. I think the longer that first half went, I'm talking after the 15, 20, 25 minute mark, we probably got a little bit lost in the occasion for, wow, we didn't expect it to be, I don't want to say this easy, but the last one we thought, we didn't expect to have the
this
run
many
of the,
chances.
This yeah, many yeah. chances in the run of the green. It's just going to keep happening, and we're going to just, you know, have goals after goal after goal. It wasn't to be that way, but I think that did play into it. It was partly the occasion for me.
Yeah. I think from Liverpool's perspective, I think we had, you know, you're talking about kind of patterns of build-up play. I think Liverpool had that in abundance, but it wasn't just, you know, the shows have done so far. Like, I think I love the link-up play between like a Trent Henderson Salah, but equally on the left-hand side of a Robbo Keita and Jota, as it was in the first half. You know, they're all dropping off, and the movement in Liverpool, which I'm seeing from
so fluid,
yeah, from pre-season so far this season, of like, it sounds dead simple. We've got the players to play to the capacity that we want to play and the style of play that we want to. It seems dead simple, but it wasn't for large parts of last season, which I think a lot of fans have forgotten that. I think, you know, it's easy to go, we were spoiled, but we were also like, okay, we were a bit crap in parts last season, but just how good and how grateful we should be to the players and high quality players that we've got, despite making several changes, because besides that 5 minutes, which we'll come on to in a little second, like you said, we were all over them. It's kind of like, it was exciting to watch. And I said, you know,
absolutely,
from Leeds at the weekend, like I compared us to the Red Arrows, which I've not said for months.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And I think it's that, the fluidity between whoever we kind of bring in terms of how that system, they're all singing off the same hymn sheet at the moment. And, you know, I was critical myself of how our patterns of play last season, we just looked a little bit one-dimensional. It was a lot of sideways stuff, and we'd go back to recycle the ball and start again. And it just become a little bit predictable. Whereas at the moment, you know, we're relentless and when we're in attack. It's almost wave after wave after wave. We're going to win the ball high up the pitch. I think Henderson did it a few times in that first half.
Even the centre-backs are doing it. Joe Matip are doing it on the halfway line. And yeah. Robertson did it a few times as well.
Exactly. So that kind of intensity and that press so high up the pitch, it just gives us the opportunity to turn that ball around quick, get them on the heels, running back towards their own goal. And we can just kind of flood their goal mouth with either spray them with shots. Even Keita had a shot from outside the box. Do you know what I mean? You didn't know where the next attack was going to come from, but you just knew that there was another threat imminent.
Which Liverpool last season was pass it round. The transitional play in which Liverpool had last season was too slow. I think we're starting to see signs of that, but it wasn't like pass it to the right hand side, nothing's on, or just a hopeful cross into the box. We're thinking about what we're doing. One person that I do want to talk about was obviously the subject of anger, confusion, disappointment, but you know, for a lot of fans and shock probably more than anything, is Divock Origi.
Yeah,
obviously he wasn't there on Sunday. I've talked about him quite a lot this week because it just made me think of kind of what's going on of him not getting on the bench. So it was a shock to everyone when he came on and he starts, but I was shocked again by how impressed I was with him, but I shouldn't be, I don't think.
No, well, it's not about the impressed. We just, there was a lot of pressure on him in terms of just to perform. And I think what he managed to do right tonight in terms of obviously the performance he gave was that hard work off the ball. Yeah. I think that was like...
That's the least Liverpool fans expect, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly. That was the foundation for him to have a good game. And I said it was probably about getting chances in front of goal and taking, you know, having a good first touch. But for him, it was more like that work off the ball kind of allowed him to work his way into that game and feel himself into it a little bit and gain confidence through doing that. And I think his work rate off the ball was good. I think, you know, that first opportunity that he got was the first chance I think we got of the game where it's flashed across the face of the goal. It's kind of similar to how Salah scores on the weekend. But it probably just falls.
It's harder and it's high off the ground as well as it's really difficult for
him. It was fired into him and it probably just falls to him about 15, 20 minutes too early into the game. His legs are probably not warm yet and he kind of just scuffs it a little bit wide, but he was in the right place. He was making the right movements and the right runs in that respect. And from there, he probably didn't have the service in terms of, again, he's not Firmino, so he's not going to be playing up at that link-up play, but in terms of how he was harrying and closing down their players when he was trying to play out from the back, he enabled us to suffocate them for the first half an hour easily. And that was really important to how we kind of approached the game. I don't think there was much service in terms of him being like a target or trying to have him as the final ball in that first half. I think he had a few one-twos that just didn't come off towards the end of that first half for us.
But he did that job of, like you're saying there, of dropping deep, bringing others into play, and then you've got Jota and Salah and others to go around him.
Go around him, exactly. And I think he did that well. And you know, for a change, he led the line really well for us tonight, and it was a different look in terms of how we were used to either having Jota through the middle or Firmino through the middle. But credit where it's due, it actually worked for large parts of while he was on the pitch. So, you know, a lot of credit for that first half performance. I know we'll probably touch on to his second half contribution in a little bit, but in terms of how he started that game, he delivered on what we was expecting from the fan base. I expect.
Yeah. A couple of comments on Divock Origi. Rab D saying Divock just loves European nights, not so much the boring Premier League, lol. Grad saying Origi made a goal and if we're not getting to any of the top six teams, he's mediocre to say the least. Sorry, but Divock isn't good enough. I don't think anyone's saying that Divock is good enough or is the answer to what Liverpool do, but I think
credit where we're doing a job is what we need of him.
There's an interesting quote here from Klopp talking to BT Sport. I've got here on the screen if Tom can show it. He says, people forget how good he is. It's difficult to get into this team. In the summer, the transfer window, we all thought there'd be a proper offer, but obviously people don't watch football enough. Divock's a sensational striker and did well today. Now, that highlights a few things of like maybe someone was interested in him, but maybe took the piss of how much they were offering.
Probably.
And we forget, you know, we saw the likes of Dom Solanke, £20 million, Rhian Brewster, £20 million. He well, he got a kick of the ball for us, whereas Divock Origi, okay, his form over the past season and probably a bit longer than that hasn't been great. But I we won't get into any of the top six sides. That's fine. Maybe that's not his standard, but I don't see a reason to slate him for it. And like you said there, he came in, he did his job, the pressure was on him immensely,
and he plays better through the middle.
Oh, 100%.
A lot of the times when we've had to call upon him, it's because we've wanted to push him out on that left hand side, and that's not his game. You know, asking him to just kind of drive down that line, take a player on and cut something into the box, that's not his game. He wants to be on the end of things, he wants to be in between the goalposts, trying to trying to get shots off. And I think he definitely plays better through the centre. And I'm not naive enough to think that he is going to be the answer to our prayers for a long part of this season. But
he's got his role to play in the squad, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Klopp's got to use the squad now. And he's taking the pressure off. And Mane now going into the weekend. So he's got fresher legs, which hopefully means Mane sharper come the weekend. So those things are an advantage to the wider squad.
Yeah.
If we're able to use him in the right games.
I think if we're all being realistic, we would love to sold Divock Origi for £20-30 million in the summer, but like life doesn't always work out the way that you want.
Exactly.
Just carrying on from the talk about Liverpool's creativeness and attacking display, that's also where the goal comes from, and it's that combination of Mohamed Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold, like little give and goes, which we saw throughout the game. Good movement from Trent in the entire channel, drives in towards the box. He's not been credited with the goal error, but I think everyone here at Red Bent was just going to give it him, aren't we?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We were celebrating as if it was a Trent goal. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because for us, it was the desire to get into that box. And again, he's the scouser in our team. Do you know what I mean? So anytime he does carve open those opportunities, if it wasn't going to be his goal, it was going to be his assist because he was literally trying to tee up Jota at the back post. So it was the right intention from Trent, definitely. And as I say, when the keeper looked good for them, to be fair to him, it was when he didn't get the opportunity to set himself. And that was the thing in that goal. He doesn't really get a chance to set himself. It goes through his defender's legs. I think it's Tomori that comes in with the block and ends up in the back of the net. But that gets us off and it's a lift off then, do you know what I mean? Early into the game, and the crowd then just stay up on their feet. You can see they obviously we couldn't hear it, but you can see that they're getting behind the team. Everybody's kind of pumped. And that's why it kind of gives us that momentum for the first 20-25 minutes.
I just got a comment here from 1989 Nikki D. Says lack of interaction on Twitter during the game is disappointing, lads. That's because I can't do two things at once. I've been doing the watch longs. I can't do socials whilst I'm doing that at the same time. But hopefully we're going to kind of look to sort that out. And obviously for the away games, I'll be doing that anyway. But I just thought I'd explain the reasons why that never happened. Back onto the game. Liverpool carried on with that persistence. And Andy Robertson, of all people, you know, good build-up play.
Yeah.
If that had got in, it would have been tops off in here. Because Andy Robertson, A, got a shot on target, B, would have scored a goal. I'm probably doing a bit of disservice there. I only watched it back once or twice. I'm not sure whether the handball's a bit harsh.
Because he turns his back to it. His hand's up, though. That's the only thing.
It's not
a natural silhouette, as you know, the way that the rules are or whatever it is at the moment. So I can understand why the refs give it, you know. And in that respect, it is what it is. To be fair, you can kind of tell, because the AC Milan players didn't, from what I can remember, didn't really protest it that much. They kind of accepted it pretty straight away. So, you know, moving into the fact that Salah doesn't bury it, that's not like him, so I'm not going to be overly critical of Salah when he stepped up to it. He stepped up to it with confidence and he looked as if he wanted to do it. He probably just hasn't connected with the ball in the way that he was expecting. And I think the keeper, he was really good for them tonight
We all thought he was going to be terrible because it wasn't Donnarumma. Maybe we're going to be better with him in goal there. And then of course that leads on to kind of, I don't think Liverpool got complacent. I just think we took our foot off the gas.
Yeah.
We took our foot off the gas and we had a couple of lapses in concentration, a succession of lapses in concentration, which started in the midfield, a couple of lucky bobbles for AC Milan, particularly for the second one, which goes through Matip's legs. But that first one in particular, you know, I'm not looking to dig Joe Gomez out, I've said several times, but I think that's where you're seeing the risk of...
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Someone's been out for such a long time. Yeah, no rhythm, hasn't had like that building blocks I was talking about before, playing in 20 minutes here and there. It's just a lack of communication of going, Rebic has gone with there. Instead of going to Matip, okay, you take my position, you drop back, I've got this fella there. And Joe Gomez then goes back to his position and just leaves Rebic free then and can see the goal.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that it starts when Dave probably pick up on sense that there's a little bit more space because how high, again, Trent was playing down our right channel. He was really confident going forward. So when they did find ways out and kind of beating our press in that respect, the only obvious area was exploiting that space on their left-hand side. Mm-hmm. And then they got a bit of an overload. And as much as Trent does try to get back, there's two or three players. All he can do really is cover a position at that point. He can't really go to any particular man of the ball. And then, obviously, as you say, there's a combination of the lapse in concentration. There's probably not the best level of communication there. And before you know it, you know, Rebic is in with a one-on-one with almost with Alisson.
Do you think we don't tend to give the opposition enough credit and kind of overcompensate by giving, you know, maybe brightly at times, not saying this is right or wrong, but maybe too much criticism for Liverpool? Because, okay, there was lapse in concentration. We just said all the negative things for Liverpool.
But they worked on that as well, yeah.
Exactly. So they worked on that overload.
Well, they learned it through the game because I think what was happening was they were seeing that how advanced Trent was, and it was, well, we tried to work our way out from the back and go through the middle, and I think they only played one pass through the middle at one point and he turned on it, and as I say, Matip and Gomez were straight in there on their men and the ball went back the other way. There wasn't much joy down their right hand side. They learned as they started to grow into the game that the obvious space was in behind
Kessie
Trent.
Moved towards that left hand side and there was always an overload on there, and again, that's where one of their goals comes from, is going, watch, I'm just going to drive towards you, because I think Trent was out of position for certainly one of the goals, which is what you're saying there. I just think, you know, as much as we're criticising Liverpool, which I think is constructively
good footballers, we're playing at Champions League level, mate. Exactly, that's part and parcel of it. Like, these lads don't always need a half-time team talk to figure out where they're going wrong in the pitch or what they need to be doing to try and get something out of the game. And, you know, top-level athletes and performers in football will work you out and they'll have your number sometimes. And that's what happened and they sucker punched us. You know, they could have easily knocked the wind out of our sails completely and our heads could have dropped, but that's just not how this Liverpool team's built.
No. We get into half-time behind to AC Milan. Very much deja.
We're rolling back the years, aren't
deja
we?
Deja vu for the ones that were alive and 3 months old when it happened. There was oldies over here. You know, you put an agenda. What does Klopp say to his boys? And I think, first of all, it was what we said of wake up, but also I think they score very early on. AC Milan, but they told that for offside. Clearly, either the half-time talk hadn't settled in yet, or that offside goal was the wake-up call.
Wake-up call, 100%. And I think that's it, that, you know, ultimately, it was, you need to wake up. I think he would have been giving them a lot of praise in terms of how they approached the game because they got a lot of things right in that first half. It was probably that those defensive lapses in concentration where he's like, if you can tighten this up. And that's why he didn't make those subs, you know, we did the watch along and, you know, people were screaming for substitutions left, right and centre. And, you know, we probably considered it as well, really, and said, you know, we would have brought people on between the 45-minute mark and the 60-minute mark. But ultimately, Klopp says, you guys are good enough to get yourselves out of this hole that you've dug for yourselves now. Yeah. So go out there and prove it. Tighten up your defence, stay switched on and be clinical. And I think those are the things that we took from that. And within the space of, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of their goal being ruled off for offside, we've gone up the other end of the pitch and, you know, the rest is history from, you know, Origi.
Just Origi for the quality assist.
Comes out like prime Ronaldinho and just the lovely little 1-2 there and just... chips over the defence.
It's very difficult to celebrate that goal because you can't hear what's going on because obviously we're doing the watchdog at the same time and you've got no concept of going, has he gone to VAR? Because I would have wildly celebrated that had I known it was onside because it was such good play. Again, maybe a little crisp. shot that Origi's doing that. But again, you know, Mo Salah said at the time, you know, he's missed his penalty. Well, he'd just be hungry to score another goal, and he did.
Yeah, he was never missing that. And, you know, I've seen a replay there, and Jota's onside, and he could have literally just laid it off to Jota outside of his foot.
But we don't score sweaty goals like AC Milan's right to do.
He was never going to do that at all. You know, credit to AC Milan, you know, they punished us in the first half, but that kind of finish, Salah, even his celebration to begin with was that.
That's so why he didn't celebrate.
Well, that's why we didn't, but... Yeah. In his head, 10 seconds or even 5 seconds before he's doing that, he thinks, this is close. Do I get something on it? Or do I just drop my head and just be like, that was offside, so there's no point? And in his head, his striker or his selfishness is, we'll deal with that offside after I've put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what he should do is celebrate wildly to try and convince the referee. But he's going to be arguing with Mo Salah because he's committed to me that it's a goal. It's Crossbow, £1.79 super chat. Sell a contract soon. Hopefully, man deserves it. Yeah, we did a bit of talk on this on the podcast this week, and we did it on the Red News Roundup, which was today. Yeah, it was this morning. Hopefully, he gets sorted out, Errol, because, you know, one of the things that we spoke about today was him reaching the 100 club, and obviously he's scoring more goals. Exactly. You know, someone who guarantees you 20 goals and plus more in all competitions, we just have to keep hold of him, don't we?
Yeah, if you kind of write down all of his achievements since he's come into the club and back in the Premier League and obviously performing in the Champions League, if you'd have said, you know, he's going to do all of these wonderful things for you, and in 4 years' time, he's going to want to be the club's highest paid player, you'd look at all that and say, well, yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah.
He's value for money as well. So I don't see why that contract can't be sorted and resolved. You know, there was points last season where you probably thought, hour off from free, is he going to be the one, the big marquee one that we kind of let go to replenish that front line? But he can't be. He's that glue. When the others have underperformed, he's not let up. He's delivered,
and
you know, he proved that last season. And there's been times where you've considered the others, you know, on par with him, but he's head and shoulders above the other two lads that we've got at the moment, and long may it continue because he is unreal.
100%. We joked during the watch long ago, we've got another corner. That's another corner. It's been cleared for a corner. Thank fuck, finally one of them paid off the end. And you know, what a finish it was. I mean, I only watched it back once, but Jordan Henderson, you know, you know, we're talking about Origi channeling, he's in a Ronaldinho. Henderson went for the inner Gerrard and just absolutely lashed it. And it's mad because he has so many of those chances where you just go on, it's it. And a bit like Andy Robertson, anyone just hit the target.
Yeah.
Henderson is probably similar for me of going, it's very rare. Like, I know he's had that goal against Chelsea a couple of seasons ago, but you know, when he absolutely lashes the ball, it very rarely hits a target. And what a game to do it in.
Oh yeah, I mean, to get a match winner again in that opening Champions League fixture, it's just unbelievable, and it just shows that to me is a real captain's performance, grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck. You know, he didn't have a lot of time to think about that. The ball's headed, it doesn't beat the first man. Again, to be fair, some of the corners were good tonight, but the last couple weren't the best. Yeah. It doesn't clear the first man. He heads it out, and as I say, he doesn't have time to think about it, or his instinct just purely comes over him and goes, I've seen this before somewhere.
Gerrard, West Ham, I'll just hit it.
And he just thought, I've had enough.
Yeah.
We've hit so many bodies tonight. They threw the line at absolutely everything and threw the body in front of everything that we threw.
And he couldn't have picked a better spot right in the corner.
It was such a sweet, like, and he hit the technique on it. He swivels down. It comes off the ground so clean and sharp. I was saying it to you in the watch along, if the keeper gets a chance to set himself, he looks really handy. Like, he looks like he's on job. All of our goals tonight came from the fact that the keeper just didn't have no chance.
Yeah.
And that was just the highlight for me, really. I think, you know, the clips of us exploding. Yeah. We knew that was a goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We celebrated that one.
The former goalkeeper, as you mentioned before, it had to be either look or top level to beat him.
Yeah, you know,
we say about Alisson all the time. I think we should do it for other goalkeepers when they have good games.
No, 100%. And I think he was really good. I think he had a bit of a dodgy moment where he could have kicked the ball at one point and he kicks it out for a corner.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But apart from that, in terms of his saves, there was a few. Mo Salah, when he chips the ball up and kind of hits it straight away with no backlift, he's there to.
Matip's header, I think, is right in the corner as well.
Matip's header was in the corner on one of the corners as well. He did really well, that goalkeeper. But for me, that was the only observation that I had of him, other than him being like, you know, a cat in goal. It was, if he sets himself, he's got every chance to kind of get something behind it. When we catch him off guard and we kind of just, you know, take the ball away from him, because even in that second goal when it's chipped over him, he hesitates, he looks like to go forward. He sees that there are two players running through, so he doesn't know what to do. Is someone going to hit a first time? Or is he going to lay it off and get that sweaty goal? And he goes back, retreats back towards his line. And because he's not set in that motion, Salah just poaches it and scores. Yeah. So I think that was the observation, but we had that killer instinct. And as I say, Jordan Henderson, man, like that's for your highlight reel, that lad.
Yeah, 100%. And finally, just before we head off, man of the match shouts. Now, I think there's a handful of contenders in there, to be honest, but I'm going to go with Fabinho because I just think he's imperious. You know, again, his performances, I mentioned when I did the play ratings, the positions that he's picking up, the fact that, you know, he just asserts his dominance in that middle of the field. I don't think he can go underestimated, particularly with AC Milan and the midfield that they were playing, and, you know, for some of the spells that they played. I just think he cuts out so many attacks that we don't realise it. I mean, maybe take it for granted a little bit, or I certainly do. Obviously, don't want to speak for everyone, but I was just like, it looks so simple, but it's not. It's because of his reading of the game.
Yeah, I was going to took the word out of my mouth.
Read your mind. Reading of the mind.
That's it. He's just on another level to a lot of like CDMs, and especially because we see him in the Prem week in, week out, and we see others. We just know his quality. But even on the European game, I think, It's that instinct with him. He just senses danger. He's got like spidey senses. He's got those long legs for it as well. He just senses dangers and just sweeps everything up. And that's what allows our defenders to play their game as well. And again, solidifying that spine of our team is probably going to be, if we can keep that spine of our team fit, that's probably going to be one of the things that pushes us towards any finish lines of, you know, winning any silverware this season. So I thought he was amazing. I thought if I had a criticism of him, it was that second goal, he looked a little bit leggy, and then once his man's left him, he doesn't like do his most to get back into the
box. He's almost not, he's on the floor, I think, isn't he?
But that's just where it ends up. But for me, other than that, second half, he just switched up and just levelled up, and he just, I don't think they had a shot on target toward the back end, for a large part of that second half anyway. They might have finished with one or whatever, but large part of that second half, he just didn't get a sniff, and it's because he just senses any danger, and he's just like, I'll have that.
Love it. Yeah, definitely my man of the match. Let us know yours in the comments below. We're going to wrap it up there as Liverpool start their Champions League group stage campaign off with a 3-2 victory over AC Milan. After they were losing at half-time, there we go, I've got one more mention of it. Paul, Chris and John Machin will be back tomorrow doing a final word, going a bit more in depth on the show. Yeah, real A-list cast there. No discredit to me and Errol, of course. So you can catch that tomorrow. They'll also be doing a build-up for Crystal Palace and also the starting 11 show. So if you want more content from us, you can go to the www.theredmantv.com. Whole host of interviews, documentaries, more shows. We do Reds Transfer Roundup around the league. There'll be two final words now for the next couple of weeks as well. So you're really getting even more shows for your money. You want to be a club legend, you can also get access to competitions every month, 20% off merchandise, free merchandise, free tickets to live shows when we can do them again, and a whole host of other perks. Go for that. I will be back tomorrow with some more content, so thank you very much. Keep your comments coming, keep your thoughts coming. Like the stream,
and Ross will get on Twitter now for you as well, guys.
Oh yeah, I'll do a Twitter job. Well, actually no, I've got two articles to edit and upload, so whenever I've done those articles, I'll get back on Twitter and do that interaction as well. Just running the show basically. It's just, got so back from
love that.
And Tom, we all do our fair share. Thank you very much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll see you soon. Ta-ra. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.